Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Thank you for joining us, everyone. This is Serge from Saravan Restaurant and Flavor Matters. And I'm here in the studio very happily with Carol Asher, a historian, an anthropologist, specifically an oral historian who lives here in Sharon on Route 4 and recently, through accidental discoveries, found out more and more about the history of Jewish immigrants to Ellsworth Hills at the turn of the 19th and 20th century, which was first exhibited as a oral history with charts and photographs, and later through what would you say? There was the interest, the further interest that it generated. She wrote a book that is titled A Chance for Land and Fresh Air, Russian Jewish Immigrants in Sharon and Armenia, 1907 to 1940, which can be bought on Amazon.com and through the Sharon Historical Society. And then also there is the website, A Chance for Land and Fresh Air. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having me, Serge.
Yeah, welcome. Did I not mention the name, the website correctly?
The website is achanceforlandandfreshair.com. And you can, if you go through that, you can buy the book through that. You can buy the book through the Sharon Historical Society's website or going to their...
And then Amazon.com
yes,
as well.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Carol, I as an Armenian from Iran and as an immigrant and also having the, family history with... both my grandparents of Russian and Ukrainian heritage, I found this story and this finding fascinating, and I related to it on personal level very deeply. Several of the families, notably the Arnovs that I know personally, the Osovskis, the Paley, that I know them personally and knowing their history on Ellsworth Hill and their move to the U.S. from Ukraine made it very real for me because of my grandparents going from Ukraine, from Russia to Iran, and hence my being here and then my coming here. Could you let our listeners know a little bit about how this book came about, how you found out about your neighbor, and then what were the next steps?
So I actually live in the hills of Ellsworth in the woods on a small road, and a farmer who lives down my road used to say to me, oh, my father bought this farm from a Jew. And then sometime later, somebody gave me a couple of pages that had been written about another farmhouse that had been a farm that turned into a boarding house.
That also, was sort of a little pieces of diary or notes that somebody had left,
somebody
right?
Somebody had about their house.
The house,
in fact,
right.
It was called If This House Could Speak. Oh. And it was also about a Jewish family that had owned this. And I thought, this is weird. This is
and this
two
is, again,
families.
The house that's on Ellsworth Hill. Which is
about a mile from the other house.
Right.
Ellsworth Hill is, it's the area that the Jews were in, as it turns out, were on both sides of the road, mm-hmm. where the Ellsworth Berry Farm now is, up on East Street, and then on the other side of the road, back through South Ellsworth and into West Woods, into Modley Road, and so on. And
which is about 2 miles or 3 miles east of the clock tower right here in Sharon.
It's actually of 7.
7 miles.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's really where the land plateaus before it goes down into Cornwall Bridge.
Okay, great.
And it's actually the land that's important, because the land up there is, when it's raining in Sharon, it's often snowing in Ellsworth. So the land is cold. It's cold there. It's stony. It's not particularly fertile land. And so the Jews moved there to become dairy farmers and discovered that it wasn't that easy to farm. There wasn't enough grass to keep your cattle going. You had to actually buy grass. That makes growing milk very expensive, and also that it was hard to get your canisters of milk down to the train line. So,
and the one of the reasons that the Ukrainian Jews were able to go there was because of the philanthropist Baron Maurice de Hirsch, who believed, if you would tell us.
Yeah, so that's an actually really interesting part of the story that I discovered by chance. So knowing that I had two or three Jewish names of farms, that's how I began. And I went to the Sharon Land Records. And in the Sharon Land Records, when I looked up these particular names, Marcus, Osofsky, I don't remember the third name that I had, but anyway, I looked them up in the Sharon Land Records by the mortgage. It would say J-A-I-A-S. Now, I had no idea what was J-A-I-A-S.
Which is Jewish Agricultural and Industrial Aid Society.
So that's what I discovered. And then what was that? And so I went to the Center for Jewish History in New York, and I discovered that the Jewish Agricultural and Industrial Aid Society was actually an extremely well-funded society, funded about 1895 by Baron Maurice de Hirsch, who was a very, very wealthy Belgian Jew. He had made his money building a railroad between Vienna and Constantinople, which is now Istanbul.
Exactly.
And wanted to do something, and in the process of building this railroad had seen the suffering of Balkan Jews and Russian Jews.
Which you chronicle well in your book.
Tremendous suffering in the Pale. Jews in Russia had been confined to the Pale, and within the Pale they had been forbidden to own land. And been made to engage in professions that were considered parasitical. So
his thought during those travels was, I would love to be able to give them a sense of identity that is associated with land. And hence
he set up this organization, the Jewish Agricultural and Industrial Aid Society, which was on the Lower East Side, mm-hmm. which would loan Jews money. It wasn't gifts, but it was loans, mostly
right.
loans to be repaid if they wanted to farm. And also part of that society gave tremendous support to farmers. These are people who had never farmed before. They didn't know what was involved in farming. So he had a magazine called The Jewish Farmer that told them how to choose a good wheat, how to choose cuts of meat from cows, how to milk.
ABCs of farming.
It was really...
And then we also forget that many of them did not even speak
English.
So, and they were observant Jews.
They were Orthodox Jews. I want to about them not speaking English. I want to make a detail that was so moving to me as I got more and more detail on numbers of Jews. Because going to the Center for Jewish History, then I found more Jews who had gotten more help with mortgages in Sharon, and then I would find their name here. And I found a couple of the farm families, they had had to sign their mortgage in Hebrew, which meant that they didn't even speak English yet. They couldn't read English. They had to hope and pray that the mortgage they got was good.
And as you and I, we were talking earlier, I told you that part was so touching for me, because my grandfather, when he had to escape Ukraine with my father, uncle, and my grandmother, and went to Iran, didn't speak a word of Farsi, Persian, but on a handshake started the business that is still there in Iran, on a handshake with an Iranian Jew who was the landlord, and a business that lasted. So there were 30 families that were able to immigrate to Ellsworth Hill and started life, no matter how difficult it was, and they realized the difficulty of the land and how hard it was to harness it so they could either have dairy farm or farm. So one of the ways that they would complement their income was they became...
They began to supplement their money from farming by offering kosher board
exactly
to Russian Jews, to kosher Jews, to Orthodox Jews in New York who would come up for what they called kosher vacations, farm vacations, and it was a wonderful start. The Paleys did that first on Ellsworth. The Osofskis did that first on Ellsworth. But the problem was that even for that, you had to get people from the train line. And the closest train stop at that time, there was a train stop in Amenia Station, and there was a train stop in Sharon Station, which you can still see. But that was still 8 or 9 miles from Ellsworth. So that the guests had to be
and
taken
up. And it's
not
just a straight, flat line.
No. They had to be taken up by horse and buggy in a carriage those 9 miles up to the Sharon.
Which was not always that easy to accomplish, which brings it to this notion of children and education and winter and transportation.
Yes, I have a wonderful photograph in the book, which I'm sure you've seen.
So it's not only for the travelers from New York City that want to have a kosher weekend. These are children that are going to school in the middle of winter.
And they have a school bus, which is...
There was no school bus.
This was a school bus.
Oh, it was a bus. Okay.
It was a horse-drawn school bus. I have a photograph of it in the book. And they sat in the back in this sort of semi-covered truck that was drawn by horses.
Uh-huh. So it was still a horse drawn going the 9 miles, the 8 miles.
Well, there were actually 4 one-room schools in Ellsworth. So they had to go sometimes 4 or 5 miles. They didn't have to go from Sharon. They were in Ellsworth, and the schools were in Ellsworth. The one-room schools were in Ellsworth, but they only went
to eighth grade, which is what I wanted to lead into, because in Armenia, they offered education to 12th grade. And I remember reading, I don't know what page it was, but this horse-drawn carriages transporting the younger Osofsky sisters or other family kids, the second generation coming to Armenia, rain or shine or winter, for furthering their education. We are running out of time for this, but what is important for this section that I want to emphasize is how your book clearly identifies that within their community, this small community of the 30 Jewish families, their faith, their identity, their recognition, their self of perseverance, tenacity, was really initially formed and strengthened within each other.
Absolutely. In the period that they were in Ellsworth, it was a Yiddish-speaking community, and the oldest surviving member, who died just a few months ago, Sam Gorkovsky, always spoke of never having spoken English until he went to the one-room school in Ellsworth.
And this is the farm that you and I were just speaking.
He moved down from Ellsworth onto the Armenia Road, and many people will know his farm on the Armenia Road.
Which is on the, I guess that would be the south side as you're driving to Sharon.
Right.
I photographed that farm.
And actually,
and I have to show you a few photographs. Yeah. It's beautiful on sunrise. The field, the cornfield that goes up, and then the trees. And sunrise, I have some gorgeous, gorgeous photos from there. I didn't know that that was his
farm. That's his farm. It abuts the
Sharon
Playhouse. Golf course.
Oh, on the other side, which I have not been. I thank you very much for listening. Carol and I, we will continue our discussion for another segment. This is Serge from Saravan Restaurant and Flavor Matters, speaking with Carol Asher about her recent book, A Chance for Land and Fresh Air, Russian Jewish Immigrants in Sharon and Armenia, 1907-1940. And I recommend everyone to visit A Chance for Land and Fresh Air.com to find out more about this wonderful history of Jews in Sharon and Armenia.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of the Saravan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on the Saravan Restaurant in Armenia, New York, saravan.com on the web.